Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
When times are tough and money is scarce, disagreements often erupt. And when discussions take place, almost always we are quick to inform the other person that the mess belongs on the other side of the disagreement. A word that prominently figures is the personal pronoun you, as in, you are responsible for this mess, or if you hadn't spent so much on that stupid car, we wouldn't be in trouble. Another variation is, you charge too much on our credit cards. Seldom do you hear phrases like, I'm responsible for the problems we are facing, or I did it, I admit it, it is my fault. When times are tough and money is scarce, we tend to blame the other person. And on occasion, we get tired of blaming each other, so we blame God. But placing the blame on Him is a great deal more dangerous than blaming your husband or wife, because no matter how loud the person may be to whom you are married, that person's volume can't be compared to an even soft clap of thunder. And no matter how animated the fireworks, it can't be compared to a high-voltage burst of lightning that rips across the sky. You have to have a long arm to fight God. But some people try nonetheless, blaming Him for their financial problems, forgetting that it was not God who spent the family budget, but God still gets the blame because He didn't send in more money to tide them over the long weekend of financial drought. Those of us who tend to place the blame for problems on either other people or God fail to acknowledge the two greatest sources of strength and help. First, our Heavenly Father, and then our family, the ones who are closest to us in times of need and crisis. Long ago, David, who faced many problems, cried out, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." There are times when we are not completely responsible for our financial woes or problems. True, you didn't know that the economy would be poor. You didn't know that your job was going to play out on you, or the company would downsize. You didn't know that your income was going to be cut, but it happened. Of course, if you had known, you would have done things differently. But God did know. Nothing that happens takes Him by surprise, so we can turn to Him for direction and strength and help. But whatever you do, don't turn on Him or on each other. Difficult times are like a catalyst that can produce strength and character, or like the teeth of the saw that will rip you apart. Friend, take time to turn to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk and read in chapter 3 the prayer of this man whose world was disintegrating, and thus he ended his prayer with these words. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. There you have it. Frankly, you may be faced with a very difficult financial situation now, one that may not have been of your making at all. Friend, there is help, and there is hope because there is God. To His children who struggled, as do some today, God said, "Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord his God and rely on Him." There's no better way to go.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.